We're holding on Yud Aleph and Aleph at the bottom by the Mishnah. We've been talking the last couple of Mishnayos which kinds of women get a psula of 200 zuz and which kinds get 100. Basic idea is if she's a psula 200 and she's not a psula then 100. The Mishnah says a gadol shebaal haktana, if an adult had relations with a ktana where she was under three, where again the psula choizrin that her psula didn't grow back. The katan shabal agdola, or the other way around, a katan less than 9 years old, where his bia is not even considered a bia lahalacha, shabal agdola, he had relations with agdola. So in that case also, if his bia is not a bia, what can he have done to her psulim? Umukas eis, or if she was injured by wood, either Rashi says that a piece of wood got stuck over there, or the Meiri says that she fell down on a hard surface, on a wood floor, or something, whatever it is, and then damaged her psulim. In all those cases, ksubas and masayim, divir of meir, we're going to talk on the Gemara whether it's all these cases or only the last one. The ksubas is 200 zuz, divir of meir, because he says that just in the last case, mukas eitz, at least, just because her psulim were damaged by this injury doesn't take away the fact that she's a psula. The fact is she hasn't had relations yet. But chacham, mukas eitz ksubas and mana, whereas the chacham say no, mukas eitz, this one who was injured only gets a mana. 100 zuz.
That was...
We're not talking about the first two cases yet. The first two cases we're going to get back to. The first case, the Gadol Shebaal Haktana, is pretty straightforward. But,
right.
Yeah, since she was less than three and the Soleil Chozrin, then the Ksuba is 200. There doesn't seem to be a question about that. The Katan Shebaal Haktana we'll discuss in the Gemara. Continue the Mishnah. B'sula almana grusha v'halotim in any surin. What if she is physically a b'sula, but she's a widow or a divorcee or halotim in any surin? Now, previously, the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis at the bottom had mentioned the case where she's an almana mina erusin, where then there's still a chazaka that she's still a b'sula. There's a chazaka that they never had relations yet. Here, once she's in a sua already, the chazaka is that the chazaka is that bia has been done. I physically refine that she's a psula, okay, but nevertheless, she still has there still exists that chazaka that already bila was done. The Yerushalmi explains and Mepharshim bring that there's another idea also, even if physically refine that she's not a psula, there's already like she lacks a certain chain, like the husband was marrying her. There's a difference still because of the psychological difference between a person marries a woman who he knows is a psula, or he expects to be a psula, versus in this case where she was already married and there's the real possibility that bia was done. So even if physically we don't find any evidence of it, but still. Therefore, ksubas and mana, therefore the ksuba is 100 zuz, because she has a chazaka of already being a psula. Yeah. The Einlein tainus psulim, but in that case, the chasim doesn't have a tainus psulim. If he says, if he claims on the wedding night, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, or Rein Lajam, or whatever, Taflok, you should expect that. And similarly, a gyoris vashvuya vashivcha, a gyoris or captive woman or maidservant, shenifter vashinizgaru vashashachru, yaseiris albanais shalashanam yamechad, they were freed or freed as a slave woman when they were older than three. Ksubas and mana, then also halagutvach. The ksuba is a mana, the aimla and tainas psulim. And again, there's no tainas psulim because after three already you should expect that bia may well have been done and obviously doesn't grow back. So, the second case of the Mishnah in the case of a katan.
If he learns after he's married that she's a gyoris.
Then that's a whole. Then that may be another matter. That might be a matter of Mishnah Toth. But we're not getting into that. We're talking about he knew that she was a gyoris, but yeah. So Amar Vihod Amar Rav. The second case of the Mishnah had been the case of a katan abal agdola. A child under nine has bia with a gdola, with an adult woman, and we said that. We said, well, the Mishnah had said ksubas and masayim, and then we had and then we continue with mukaseis. So, amar of Yehuda amar Rav, katan abal agdola, so a mukaseis. Actually, in that case, if a katan has relations with a gdola, that relation itself makes her mukaseis. He's not old enough for his bia to be considered a bia, but, you know, if we're saying that even wood is able to damage it, then similarly with this. Actually, Rashi and Tosfos argue over here. Are we talking about that her psulim have physically been lost? Rashi says that. Let's learn the next line of the Gemara, and then we'll see. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is saying that the bia of cotton makes her the equivalent of mukaseis. No, we were holding by the Mishnah on Yud Aleph of Aleph.
Oh,
you're a blot ahead. So
I know we're in the bottom here.
Yes, so now we're up here.
I thought you were looking here at the bottom.
Ki Amrita Kamei Shmuel. Then Rav Yehuda says, when I told over this din of Rav, when I told it over to Shmuel, Omar, he said, no, ein mukas eitz b'basar. You cannot have a case of, it should not be considered a mukas eitz because of flesh. Mukas eitz is the definition that something inanimate damaged her. In this case, it was a human being. Yes, it may not be considered, it's not considered ve'ila, but it can't be considered mukas eitz either. Now,
so put a nail
one second. It? No, but it's a nail is also inanimate. The point is, it's not bother. It's not flesh. Not human flesh.
Inanimate means not correct, or
what?
Inanimate
means not living. Joyment. Yeah. Rashi seems to be implying that we're talking about over here that the psulim may well have been damaged by this via, but just as with a mukas eitz, so with a mukas eitz, we say that the psulim were damaged, and therefore we have a machlokes within the Mishnah whether she gets 100 or 200 zuz. Here we're saying it's not even considered that. So Tosfos says, no, that can't be. If the psulim are damaged, then of course. I mean, why would it be anything less than mukas eitz? Tosfos Rid, and on the side over here, answers that the difference is you can have you can talk about there's three different ways in which psulim can be removed. There can be the normal way by the bia of a gadol, or at least somebody over 9 years old, where his bia is effective halacha. You can have mukas eitz, where it was done by something inanimate, like a piece of wood or whatever. And then you can have the case, which we actually learned about in Yevamos, where the woman removes her own besulim ahead of time. Miacha ve'esba. We learned over there that in the family of Rebbe, they used to do that in order that way they'll more definitely be able to get pregnant the first time they have relations.
After they were married?
No, so, well, either before or after, or whatever, before they had first relations.
But when you do that, then you can say that I just someone and then make a whole case of it.
They tell them ahead of time that they're doing that. But whatever, the point is over here, so the Tosfos Riz argues when Rashi is saying that the fact that it was a katan, you can't consider it according to Shmuel, you can't consider it mukas eitz, and you definitely can't consider it real be'ila, what do you consider it? You consider it the equivalent of if she took out her own clothing, which that for sure doesn't make her lose her 200 zuz.
What's it called?
It's called miyacha ve'etzba. Yudal Hamvez, yeah. So far we started with by saying that Rabbi Yehuda had said first in the name of Rav and then in the name of Shmuel, what Shmuel had told him. The others learned it as a separate thing, without mentioning Rabbi Yehuda, that it's just a plain old machloek, it's Rav and Shmuel. Katna Balag Dola. Rav Amar saw Mukas Eitz. So Rav says that in that case he makes a Mukas Eitz, and then you have the machloek in our Mishnah, whether she gets 100 or 200 zuz. Or Shmuel, I'm in Mukas Eitz Vasa, where Shmuel says that you can't have Mukas Eitz involving flesh. Therefore, according to if the Besulim, according to Rashi, even if the Besulim were damaged, you wouldn't consider her to lose anything from her 200, according to Shmuel. And according to Tosfos, if the Besulim weren't damaged. So Gemara says,
this whole thing is a question. Okay, I missed the mission. The question is,
the question is, right, how much the Besulah has to be? 200 for a Besulah, 100 for a non-Besulah. The question is, what the non-Besulah in this case?
And they're talking here with Katzin, the Katzin for doing that.
No, they're not Knaf. It's a question of how much the Besulah is.
Yeah, but here it's Katzin HaBalag Doyla,
right? No, Katzin HaBalag Doyla, right, we're not Katzining anybody. He's a Katzin, he's below 9.
Right.
She's a Gdola. Okay, why they were having relations at the
other time? No, he has to pay her for Besulah.
Later on, if another man marries her, he has to pay 200 zuz for her ksuba, we're saying.
Oh, if he considered someone...
Yeah.
Okay, that's
right. Okay, got it. Yeah. Most of Ravoshia says, I have a contradiction. Look at our Mishnah. Gadol shabal aktana, we said if a gadol has relations with aktana less than 3 years old, the katna bal aktana, or katna 9 years old, below 9 years old, has relations with aktana, or mukas eitz, ksubas and masayim, in all those cases, the ksuba is 200, divir ameir. The Chachamim say a Mukas Eitz gets 100. The implication is that the Rabbanan are only arguing about the Mukas Eitz. They're not arguing about the first two cases. Evidently, they agree. The first two cases, she's still entitled to 200. She's still considered a Besulah. That contradicts Rav. Rav's saying she's considered Mukas Eitz. So, no, what the Mishnah means is as follows. Gadol abal ktana v'loy klum. If the gadol has relations with a ktana less than 3, v'loy klum, it's not considered anything as far as damaging her status as a psula, depachas mikan kinesin etz b'ayin, because we say throughout Shas that in that such a thing, it's like putting a finger into the eye, meaning you touch your eye with a finger, you start tearing up, and then more tears come, as more and more tears come, from the they never stop. The same way over here, the psulim can grow back. Next continues the Mishnah, if a katan below 9 has relations with a gdola, then that makes her a mukas eitz. Mukaseitz gufa plukter of neiv rabbanan. And then, what about the mukaseitz herself? That is the machloekes. So in other words, Rava is saying that you could understand, if you, according to Rav, you would understand that the Mishnah is telling us the second case of the Mishnah is the same, is effectively the same as the third case. The rabbanan and the mayor argue on both of them. Whereas according to Shmuel, not after you would say that. According to Shmuel, you would argue en mukaseitz b'basar, and therefore the second and third cases of the Mishnah are different. The second case, everybody would agree, 200 zuz. The third case is the machlokes. Amar Rav Rachama, machlokes kishehikiba. The machlokes about this machlokes about whether the mukaseitz gets 100 or 200 is if he knew about it ahead of time when he got married and he wrote the ksuba, he knew already she was a mukaseitz. So what's the machlokes? The mayor dami lola begeres. So the mayor says, you know what? She's still entitled to 200, same way as a begeres. We said the other day, and we learned back in Yevamos, that a begeres does not have her full basulim. We talked the other day what that means, whether it means that there's not so much, that there's more of a pesach pasuach, or that there's not dam, whatever it is exactly. A begeres, when she's 12 and a half already, half a year after her bas mitzvah, she already, her basulim are not quite in the same state as they were beforehand. And yet, of course, she gets 200 zuz. So their argument is, and Mukas 8 also, okay, her besulim were damaged, but it wasn't damaged by bia, it was damaged by an accident or whatever. So therefore, he says, no reason, it should be any difference. But Rabbanan, Madama Lola Bola, where does the Rabbanan compare it to a woman who's actually had relations? And therefore, they say a regular woman who's had relations gets 100, therefore this Mukas 8 also does. So far, that's if he knew about it ahead of time. But if he didn't know about it ahead of time, then Rami Rahama says, everybody would agree she gets nothing, because then it's called a mekach tos. He can argue, I never would have married you if I had known that you are, that you're not a complete basula, that you're a mukaseitz.
Married
to
her or not?
Yeah.
What? They married to her or not?
He's saying it's a mekach tos. In other words, he's arguing that the kedushin shouldn't have even been in effect in the first place. That's a machlokes as a poskim, whether in that case he still needs to give her a get. Maybe he does, but at any rate, he has a claim, according to Rami Bar Chama, to say that I shouldn't have to pay a ksuba at all, because you misled me.
Not conditionally.
Effectively, there was a condition involved, yeah.
He would have to pay 200. At least pay one.
No, but the argument is, it was a mekach tos, it was a misunderstanding. So the question is, for the mayor, am I madami lola begeres? New taka, why does the mayor compare her to a begeres? Nidami lola ba'ula, why taka doesn't he compare her to a ba'ula like Chachamim do? And the answer is, ba'ula is avad ba'maisa b'day adam, because a ba'ula, what's the definition? She had relations with another man, and she lost her basulim that way. Hola is avad ba'maisa b'day adam. Here there's no other man involved, it's a domim. So there's no reason to compare him. V'rabbanan, let's look at the other way around. V'rabbanan, adam adamu lola ba'ula nidamu lola begeres. Instead of comparing her to ba'ula, why don't they agree with her mayor that you compare her to a begeres? And the answer is, begeres lo yisavad b'maisa klal, because the difference is a begeres, nothing at all has happened. It's a natural process that as she matures, her b'sulim change. But nothing at all was done. Ha yisavad b'maisa, here, with the eighth, something happened. It's not something unusual happened. It's not like the usual growth pattern of a begeres. So that's why they each compare him to a different case. Now, so the question is, Rami Bar Chama continued, that you're saying that Rami Bar Chama, that if he didn't know about it ahead of time, then she doesn't get any ksuba at all, because then he argues mekach tos. Masiv Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, I have a contradiction to that. A Mishnah later on in our Masechta, we'll get to it tomorrow. A contradiction to this idea that we're saying that she doesn't get a ksuba at all in that case. We have a later Mishnah in our Perek. He emeres mukas eitzani. If he comes after the wedding night, he finds there's no pesach, there's pesach pasuach, there's no blood, whatever exactly. So they come to Beis Din. She claims mukas eitzani, that I was damaged by wood. He says, I'm not sure. She's saying a tainus bari. We're going to talk about it later on. She's making a definite claim. I'm definitely claiming that it was mukas eitz, that it was an accident. He's saying, I'm not sure. Maybe yes, but maybe drusas isha. Maybe you actually had relations with a man. Drusas literally means stepped on, but it means, in other words, that she had relations.
Yeah,
the drusa by behema means something else. It means like it was clawed, it was injured by it. Yeah, that's just different. Anyway, so what happens? Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Eliezer oimim ne'emenes, and Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Eliezer say that you believe her. Now we have to consider, what do you mean you believe her? You believe her obviously means that Now, if we're talking according to Reb Meir, fine. Reb Meir says in our Mishnah she gets 200. But 1 second. Again, we're talking over here. He didn't know ahead of time, right? Because the whole point is now we're coming to Beis Din and he's claiming that you're not a Basula. And all of a sudden she tells him, you know what? I mukas eitani. Now, why? What are we saying? You believe her? According to Rami? No, not how can you believe her? According to Rami, no. According to Rami Bachama, what do you mean you believe her? In what sense? She's not getting a ksuba anyway. We just said that according to Rami Bachama, both the mayor and the rabbanon agree that in that case she gets no ksuba. So nemenes in what sense?
She's getting something.
Right. Obviously, if nemenes obviously means that they're saying she gets something. Exactly.
But how can you believe her?
Because we'll talk about it later. One idea is because she's making a tainus bori, she's making a definite claim, he's making a tainus shema. He's saying, I'm not sure. Maybe it was mukaseit, but maybe it was a man.
But the fact that she didn't inform him...
Well, we'll get to it later. There's also a matter of... Wait. We'll get to it at the bottom of your base. Relax. Right now, we're just dealing with the question. The Mishnah says, you have an opinion that says nemenes. You have another opinion that says that she's not. But the opinion that says nemenes. Nemenes in what sense? According to Rami Bahama, there's nothing to believe her on. She doesn't get a ksuba anyway. Ella Amarava, no. Bain Hikubo, Bain Le Hikubo, no. Whether he knew ahead of time or he didn't, Lurab Meir Mosayim, and according to Rab Meir, either way, Mukaseitz always gets 200. No question about it. Lurabonon, the difference is according to the Rabbanon. Hikubo Mane, if he knew ahead of time then that she's a Mukaseitz, then the Rabbanon says she gets a Mane. Loi Hikubo, Loi Klum. But if he didn't know ahead of time, then she doesn't get anything. So now what we can say is the later Mishnah, when we say that Rab Gamliel and Rab Eliezer say you believe her, you believe her, in other words, according to Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, who says that she's anyway entitled to 200, whether she's a Mukas Eitz or not. The fact that she didn't tell him ahead of time, that doesn't change anything.
Very difficult position.
Okay, well, we'll get to that later. However, the Gemara points out, however, Rava changed his mind. And Rava changed his mind, this that he's saying, that the Rabbanon say that if he didn't know ahead of time, then she doesn't get anything. Rava changed his mind about that and decided in the end that the Chachamim hold that either way, there's no difference between Hikirba or Loi Hikirba, either way she gets a mana, according to Rabbanan. How do we know that he changed? First of all, the Tanya, we learn as follows. After we go through this discussion, we'll see how Rava changes. We'll see how we know that Rava changed his mind. Later on in the Masechta, it talks about the case of Moitzi Shemra. The Torah outlines in Parshas Kiseitze that a couple gets married. The next day he comes to Beis Din and says, Lo matzasi levitcha b'sulim. Actually, well, let's learn it inside. We'll see. Kate said Hatzas Shemra. How does Hatzas Shemra, how does this din work? How does it go down? Bala Beis Din, the husband comes to Beis Din, v'omar, and he says to the woman's father, Kloini, Lo matzasi levitcha b'sulim. I did not find that your daughter has b'sulim. So, Im yesh edim shizin satachtav, if there are edim that she was mezana after the kiddushin, ksubas yesh laksubamana, then she gets a ksub of 100. And the Gemara interjects, what do you mean? Im yesh edim shizin satachtav b'skilahi, in that case she gets skila. The way the Torah outlines it is basically, if there is evidence that, the way the Torah outlines it is as follows. If there's evidence that the husband is lying, then he gets malchus and he has to pay a fine, and he has to remain married to her for the rest of his life. He's not allowed to divorce her. If it turns out that he's telling the truth and shitaka was mezana, then you give her skila. Well, we'll talk about the details. We'll talk about the details later on in the fourth paragraph. But that's the question. What are you saying? That if there's Adim that she was Mizana, she gets the mana. If she's Baskila, she's supposed to be getting Skila. Okay, Mephoshim point out technically maybe she's not able to get Skila because there was no Adim Basra. We mean, in other words, that it's a case that would involve Skila. Certainly, she's not going to get Uksuba. No, Hachikama, what the Raisa means. Im yesh edim shizin satachtav, if there are edim that she was mizana while she was engaged to him, while she was nisaris to him, the skila, then she gets skila. Zinsa meikara, if there's edim that she was mizana before he was ever makadosh her, well, she's not also to him then, but then yesh laksubamana, then she gets laksubah 100 luz.
Yeah,
so, now, wait. Ve'amar av chir ba'av and amar av sheshes, zoi se meres, from this we can see, kansa b'chetzkes ba'ula, v'nimtes ba'ula, therefore we see from that, that if a husband marries, that if a man marries a woman, expecting her to be a b'sula, v'nimtes ba'ula, and it comes out that she's ba'ula, which is our case over here, yesh lo ksuba mana, then she gets a ksuba 100. And continues the discussion, umasiv Reb Nachman, so Reb Nachman asks a question on that, from a Mishnah later on, we'll have it on your Beis Amabeis. And no says to Isha, a man marries a woman and doesn't find Basulim. So what happened? He emeres misher astani ne nasti. She claimed, after you were makadosh me, I was raped. Therefore, when istach vasadeh, it's like your field was flooded. In other words, basically, it's your tough luck. When you were makadosh me, I was still a Basula. after that, I lost my psulim. I'm not responsible. You still owe me my ksuba. And he's arguing no. He's arguing it happened before the erusin. And he's arguing therefore it was a mekach tos, that it was a mistaken. There was a mistaken thing. And evidently that means that she doesn't get a ksuba at all, because otherwise, what's the argument exactly? She's obviously not a basula. She's obviously not getting 200 anyway. So if she's arguing, nistachva sadeu, and he's arguing against that, evidently then because she is arguing she gets 200, because she's arguing when you were ma'aris me, you owed me 200 at that point. No, but if he says v'chaya mechi mechach tos, b'pashtos, he doesn't mean mechach tos as in I only owe you 100. B'pashtos, he means mechach tos as in the whole thing is off.
If that's the case, if he says, I'm sure that it happened before, so then why do you need
to... that's the thing. Again, it's a tiny shema. Again, it's Bori versus shema. We'll get there later. Anyway, if it turns out that he's correct, that it was beforehand, and he's saying mechach tos, that means she doesn't get it all. So what are you telling me? So what is the price about her tos shemra saying that in that case she'd get a mona? So Rav Chiya Ba'avin says, you have to consider. Obviously, you must be misunderstanding this. Efshar of Amram Chogdela Adir Yasvi, the Amram of Sheshes La Shmaita, how could it be where you have Rav Amram and all the great Chachamim of that generation were sitting when Rav Sheshes said over this teaching, Vekashalahu, and they had this very same question, Vishani, and Rav Sheshes answered to them, My Mechach Tos Nami Mimasayim. No, you're misunderstanding. Mechach Tos, his claim, Mechach Tos, does not mean saying I'm off the hook completely. It means I'm off the hook as far as 200 Zuz. Avon Mana Isla. But she still gets a mana. So
how much?
What?
The total of the psula is how much?
The total, so that for a psula would be 200. For a bula would be 100.
200. So the 200 around?
So Jeremy Sain said she's getting a mana. She's getting 100. So in other words, Rav Chiya Ba'avin is saying, obviously you have to accept that that's the right answer, because if Rav Amram and all these other great Tamar Chachamim accepted this answer from Rav Sheshes, Ba'at Amr Blef Laklal, so how can you, Rav Nachman, think that it means that she doesn't get anything at all? Don't you realize that all those Chachamim realize that's it? And V'Amar Rav, and Rav continues, this is all in the Sugya, which we'll have later on, Mandaka Moisiv, Shapaka Moisiv. No, as a matter of fact, when Rav Nachman asked the question, he had a very good point that he's asking. Mekach Tos, the Gamri Mashma, because the fact is, the word Mekach Tos implies that he means I should be completely off the book, not 200 versus 100, but 200 versus 0. The El Akashahach, so okay, then you have the question, how is it that the Braisa seems to be saying she gets a mona, and based on the Mishnah, Mekach Tos, you're saying that she gets nothing? You have to say, because Tritzvei Mahochi, you have to correct the Braisa as follows. Again, we already had to correct the Braisa of Amoti Shemra one time anyway, because we already said the initial version of it that we had, that if there's Edim that she was Mizana, then she gets a Mana. We said that's for sure wrong, because if there's Edim that she was Mizana after the Eris, then she gets Skila. So already we had to correct it anyway. Once we're correcting it, let's correct it further. Im yesh edim shezin satachta v'skila. If there's edim that she was mizana while she was after the erusin, after she's already niskadosh to him, then she gets skila. Zinsami kara v'loy klum. If it turns out that she was mizana before the kiddushin, then there's nothing. Nimsis mukas eight. But if it turns out, why does she not have psulim? Because she's in mukas eight. Yesh l'ksubamana. Now, how does that relate to our discussion over here? Rabbah hu da'amal rabbanan lahikub av leiklum. Rabbah himself was arguing before that according to the rabbanan, that according to the rabbanan, if lahikub, if he didn't know ahead of time that she's mukas eight, she gets nothing. And here he's explaining the braisa to mean 100. Elashma mina hadabe rabbah mahi. So that goes to show that Rabbah changed his mind. So the maskana, therefore, so far, is that the maskana, according to Rabbah, then, is that according to the mayor, a mukas eight, whether there's never a difference, neither according to the mayor nor according to the chamim, whether hikirba or loy hikirba. According to the mayor, either way, a mukas eight gets 200. According to the banan, either way, she gets 100. The halacha would be like the chachamim, yeah. And the halacha is, also, the halacha furthermore is like Rava's understanding of it. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Konsarishin L'Shum Nisuin, going back now to our Mishnah, we talked about in our Mishnah that if we have a woman who was married, they did the full marriage, Kedushin and Nisuin, and then her husband died, so we say at this point she has the Chazaka of that Be'ilah was already done. The Chazaka of a married woman is that Be'ilah was already done. Therefore she gets only a Ksuba of a Mana.
Even if it wasn't.
Even if physically you still find the Sulin, you could say maybe Hita, maybe whatever, but yeah. Kamtzarishim l'shum nisuin. If the first husband married her for the sake of nisuin, meaning he did full-fledged nisuin, v'yesh la'edim shel nistura, but there are edim that they never were secluded together, they were never in yichud. Or they were secluded, but there was not enough time. So the yichud was not long enough for kedebiyah, which the Gemara discusses in Sota, how long that is exactly. Nevertheless, ein hasheni yochel lipin tainas psulim, the second husband is not able to claim a tainas psulim shadet konsarishin, because after all, the first one did marry her, and again, we assume that the chazaka of the nesua is that she's already, that be'ilah has already happened. Yes, there's no edim that they did yichud. We say it doesn't matter. There's no supervision when it comes to arayis. Not when it comes to be a heter, which in this case it would have been. So therefore we have to assume that it happened anyway, even if we don't have edim substantiating it. Omar Rabba, Zoy say meres. Well, we learn from this. Evidently, we see from this also that if you marry a woman expecting her to be a besula, and it comes out that she was a be'ula, because what happened? In this case over here, the Edim told him that she never was in Yichud. Never in Yichud, he expected her to be a besula. V'nimtzei be'ula, but it comes out that she's a be'ula, yesh laksu b'mana. And we're saying that that nevertheless she gets the mana. That was the case over here, that we're saying that he can't do a tainus besulim, but she gets the mana, as our Mishnah said. Rav Ashi Omer, no. Ba'alma la'olam emalach les laklal. Not necessarily, Rav Ashi says. Maybe you could say that in a normal case where he expects her to be a besula and it turns out that she's a bola, maybe less laklal, maybe Shitaka doesn't get anything at all, which is what we were discussing before. The shiny hacha shari konsarishin. Here it's different because, after all, the first one married her, the first one already married her, meaning the husband himself should have already known that there's a real possibility that she's a bola. As opposed to a normal situation where he doesn't have any reason to think that she's a bola. The question is, okay, v'neich shem atacht of zinza. Going back to the Mishnah, to the Braisa rather. If we said the second one is not able to claim a tainus besulim. Now, what does that mean? He's not able to claim a tainus besulim. It means Rashi says the implication is we say we don't even bother him to go to Beis Din to get the situation checked out. Now, why not? Isn't there the real possibility? We said at the beginning of the Masechta that the whole reason why we have the concept of tainus psulim is because you want to give him the chance to come to Beis Din, and Edim might show up that actually she was Mizana after the Kiddushin. Why don't we say that over here also? If we're saying Edim yochel litin tainus psulim, in other words, he's saying the next morning you were in a psula, she said, and she has the right to say, well, tough luck, you should have expected shadei konsarishin. We don't even need to bother going to Beis Din, and that's a valid claim. Why not? Why shouldn't they have to go to Beis Din and check out whether there might have been snus over here? No, but the question is that the same way as in the normal situation of tainus psulim, we say you go to Beis Din and we'll hash out the facts over there. We'll find out whether there was znus, whether before or after the Erisin, whether it was mukaseis, whether it's this, that. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Amar Rav Shravya, kigan shekiddush habaal la'altar. Yes, but the case that we're talking about over here would be where he was mekadesh and then did Bia right afterwards, which is basically, in other words, if he did things the way we do things nowadays, where you do the Kiddushin and then immediately the Nisurin and the Bi'ilah. So there's no real opportunity. There's no opportunity for there to have been any znus in between.
That's why we take away.
That's why we say he doesn't have a claim, right? The Ikka Demasni Lamas Nisin. So far we had this version one of the discussion was based on this Braisa. We had this Braisa where the first one had married her, and then the second one is coming to marry her. We say, any yochel litin tainus psulim. Now, Ikka D'Masni Lamas Nisin. There are others who learned this discussion about between Rabba and Rav Ashi and Rav Shravya as referring to the Mishnah, to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said, Besula almana grusha min anisurin, a besula who is a widow or a grusha or a chalutza from a marriage, ksubas and mana, then the ksuba is a mana, ve'in la'en tainas psulim, and there's no tainas psulim. And the question is, besula min anisurin heichem ashkachasla, how would she be that the nisurin was done and yet she's a besula? It would have to be convention nichnas ala chuppah v'la nivala. If they went into the chuppah, which we discussed the other day what the chuppah is, but be'ila had not happened yet. And on that, Amar Rabba, Zoy Semeres, Kansa Bachazkas Besula, Vanimtis Bola. From that, you see that if you marry a woman expecting her to be a Besula and it comes out that she's a Bola, Ksubas Amana, then the Ksubas Amana. Same idea over here, because they went into the Chuppah. They went into the chuppah. She went with her first husband. There was no be'ilah. So he expects to still find her b'sula. Turns out that she's b'ula, and the Mishnah is saying she gets a k'suba of a mana. And Rav Ashi Yomala Olam Eimalach Ba'alma Las Laklal. And again, Rav Ashi says not necessarily. You could say that in the normal situation where there was no previous chuppah, if he thinks that she's a b'sula and it turns out she's a b'ula, then nothing, because Mechatos. The shiny hacha. But here it's different. Shiny nichas al chuppah. Again, once she went into the chuppah, there's already a chazaka that b'ila happened, and he should have realized that. So what's it? And here also v'leichu shema tachtav zinsa. Again, you have the same question. Why aren't we concerned? Why do we not give him his day in Beis Din? Why aren't we concerned that maybe she was mizana after the kedushin? Again, amar of shnabik against a kedusha bala alta. Again, the case would be that he did the kedushin and then shortly afterward the beila.
Implying if it was not the alta, she wouldn't.
Then he would have. Then, so Beis Din would tell him, you know, you should have realized that she went into the chuppah or whatever. So they'll dismiss the claim, but at least he has his day in Beis Din. The first version of the Gemara who said that this discussion was talking about the Braisa Kosha Kenemas Nissin. They would say all the more so in the case of the Mishnah, if we're assuming the case of the Mishnah is that she went into the chuppah, the case of the Mishnah was Minani Suin. The Braisa had spelt out that there was Nisuin, but afterwards specifically Edom come and say that there was no Yichud. The Mishnah doesn't spell that out, so the Mishnah could be talking about a plain case where there was Yichud, but afterwards she's still claiming she's a Basula. If you say the discussion over here refers to the Braisa, how much more so in the case of the Mishnah? You would say that he doesn't even have his day yet based in because he just gives her a mana. According to Rabbah, you just give her a mana. According to Rav Ashi, you argue that there's a difference because he should have known he should have figured she's a Basula. She's a Ba'ula already. But the second version of the discussion that said that it's referring to the Mishnah, they would say Avala Braisa Loi. But they would say, Rav Ashi would say that no, in the case of the Braisa, no, not necessarily. Would you say that in that case she gets her money? Mishum Namatzi Omala No Edim Samchi, because then he has a real claim to say. In the Mishnah, again, there was Stam Nisurin, there's no Edim one way or the other, what happened afterwards. So, okay, you should expect him to say, you know what, you should have known. Beis Din can tell him, you know what, you should have known better. In the case of the Braisa, where he actually has Edim coming and telling him that there was never any Yichud, he has a very valid claim, Rav Ashi is saying, to say, you know what, then I really expected you to be a B'sula. I had no reason to think you were B'ula. If it turns out that you're a bull, after all, I want my money back. I shouldn't have to pay you anything. Mishnah says,
that's the conclusion, in other words, he can.
Well, I mean,
that's halacha.
I don't know what the halacha is actually in this. I mean, Bechlau, we talked the other day the whole question. When do we even accept the Tainus Pesulim anyway? We talked about the possibility that maybe you don't even accept a Tainus Pesulim. Well, we said actually there's two different kinds of Tainus Pesulim. The Pesach Pesulim versus Dom. Okay, fine. But when we do and don't accept it, and also there's, you know, we're going to talk about if the woman counterclaims or whatever. In this case, the argument would be that he should have known better. He should have realized that there's a real possibility that Be'ilah was done.
And he gets only 100.
And therefore you should only have to pay 100. Yeah. Mishnah says, "Ha'eichal etzacham v'Yehuda shalai be'edim." If somebody eats by his father-in-law's house in Yehuda without Edim, so the chassan went over to his shver to be's house, the Edim were there, and we learned the other day that in Yehuda they had the minhag that the chassan and kala would be nisyachet together, even during the period of Erusin. We talked the other day why because the Yerushalmi mentioned that the Romans were doing this thing with Tibor Lahegman Tchila, so they wanted that she should bond with her. Well, the straightforward reason is just Sheyehili Begaspa. Our Gemara just says Sheyehili Begaspa, that you want them to get comfortable, you want them to get familiar with each other. This way, when it comes to the first night, they do Bir Hashoina, they do Bir Lasmitzvah, they should be comfortable. They shouldn't be shy around each other. The Yerushalmi puts it a little differently, that the expectation was that actually they would be doing Bir, because that way they'll bond together, and that way if the Hegmon comes and takes her afterwards, then it'll be bonus rather than Beratin. And she'll naturally be potter, but this way she won't be also to her husband.
If he's the real first, then woman is first, then...
No, if the woman was first, then there's a possibility, the Gemara mentions in a few places, Eina Isha Kodesh's Brit El Mishas Akeli, that a woman has a very deep psychological bond with the first one that she has relations with. If that first one winds up being the guy, there's a possibility that maybe it was Berotzen. If it was Berotzen, she becomes also to her husband. Like this, if they arrange that ahead of time, she has a chance to do beer with her husband first, with her orders right. first, then by the time the Hegman comes, she has this psychological bond with her husband, therefore it'll definitely be bonus.
But even the bonus, once they knew that they were married, it didn't bother. It was before the marriage.
We're talking about after the marriage, but still, maybe they still thought they have a shot, whatever. But the Yerushalmi goes on to say, by the way, that what about Kohen? What about daughters? What about wives of Kohenim? They'd be also even if it was bonus. And the answer is, then they would hide away. Then they would make sure to do the weddings in secret, so the Romans don't find out about it. So why don't they do that for everybody? Because you can't keep everybody's weddings a secret. The Romans would realize after a while and start causing trouble. So like this, yeah. By the time it comes to the beginning of the beer, maybe Berotzen, that's the problem. Later on in the Masechta, the Gemara talks about that if the actual beer began Ba'onis, then even afterwards, if it's Berotzen, that's fine. But here we're talking about that before the actual beer, at the beginning of it already. Yeah.
The first beer.
Yeah.
So the yichud is
plain yichud, but there was the possibility. No, there is the possibility of bia. There's no edim. Again, ain't apotropos l'arayis, but yeah. According to our Gemara, maybe it was just supposed to be yichud, and sometimes it. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, and the point is shaloi be'edim. There's no edim there whether there was yichud or not. Eini yachol litin tainis psulim. Then at that point, the chassan afterwards is not able to claim a tainis psulim after the wedding. But neshem isyachad ima because he's in yichud with her. So and once he's in yichud, there's the possibility that there was bia. So what are you making a tainis psulim? It may well have been you. So the Gemara says, "Midikatani ha'oichel." Since the Mishnah is using the expression ha'oichel, if he eats by his chassan, implying it wasn't always the case, this implies that there were in fact places in Yehuda where they didn't have this minhag. So Abaye says, yes, in fact, we learn from that in Yehuda itself, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yehuda, there were different minhagim in different places. This minhag, that the chassan would be in Yehud with the kala during the Eretzin, was not a universal minhag in Yehuda. In some places, yes, in some places, not. Maybe it depended whether the Romans were nearby, who knows. Before I should talk about what Abaye actually is adding, the Rashba says that this whole statement over here is Abaye, that the Miklal de Ikaduch de Yehuda Nami de Loi Ochel, Amar Abaye, Shmami de Nami Mekhaimis, this whole statement that Rashba says is all one long statement of Abaye's. He's clarifying what he's saying, that in Yehuda itself there's different places. The Ritva learns a little differently. The Ritva says that actually what Abaye is adding is that in Yehuda, if a person is in the parts of Yehuda, the minhag to do this, where it's not, he says that if a person from Yehuda, for example, were to go to Galil, where they don't have this minhag at all, and follow this minhag of going and eating by his father-in-law's house, but since there's no expectation of Yehud over there, then yes, he still has a tainus psulim. So we're saying, even in Yehuda itself, it depends whether you're in one region or another.
Why do you say if he?
Because that's how the Mishnah phrases it. If the Mishnah had meant that everybody in Yehuda does it, it would have been something like Yehuda. Any yochel litin tainis v'yehuda shaloi ve'edim any yochel litin tainis v'sulim. Ha'oichel implies if he ate in Yehuda, I'm implying that it's an if, it's not necessarily a given. Kedetani, as we learn in the Braisa, Amr of Yehuda, v'yehuda in the land of Yehuda, v'rishayna ha'yim yachas ha'chasin v'as kala shah achas kodim k'nisas on the chuppah, they would have the chasin and kala be in Yehud for a short time before they went into the chuppah, k'dei she'heli v'gasba, in order that he should be comfortable around her. V'v'gol aloi ha'yo esikain, but in the Galil they didn't do that. Another detail, in Yehuda, originally they would arrange for the chasen kala on the wedding night two shushvinin. Basically as edim, yeah. Echad loy ve'echad la, one for him, one for her. In order to search them and search what they're doing when they're going into the chuppah. Meaning, Meaning, in other words, that we said we said the other day that you can have a tainas damim, you can claim that the chosin has a valid claim in base, and if he doesn't find that there was blood after the beer rishona. So what can happen? You can have the chosin might be playing tricks. He takes the cloth and hides it away to pretend that there was no basolim, or you could have the other way around. She sneaks in a cloth that already has blood on it. So therefore, you had in Yehuda, the Mefarshim explained that in Yehuda, the people were much smarter than in the Galil, and when you have people who are smart, you also have people who are oiber chachamim, who are too smart for their own good, basically. So they would check. I guess they would check
right
before.
Right.
No, so they would check. They check before they go into the room, and after they come out, whatever. Yeah. In order to check, in order to search them, maybe they would do like a body search before they go into the chuppah of a galil. Lawyers in Cambridge, in the Galil, people were more timidistic. They didn't do that.
In Galil,
they trusted that the chassin is not going to play any tricks like that, and neither is the kala.
But in Yehuda.
In Yehuda, they did. They had that problem, so therefore they had to have the shushvinim. Okay, you know, another one. In Yehuda, originally, these shushvinim would actually sleep in the same house where the chassin and kala were. Not in the same room, obviously, but in the same house. Again, in the Galil, they didn't do that. Finishes off the braisa. Anybody who did not follow this minhag, any yochalit in tainas besolim, is not able to make a tainas besolim. The question is, aheya, which part of the braisa is this kol shalei nohag referring to? Ilema areisha, is it talking about the reisha that we're saying that in Yehuda they used to be in Yichud and in the Galil not? So we're saying if you did not follow that minhag, then you can't claim a tainas besolim. What do you mean? Kol shenag mibarilei, just the opposite. If in Yehuda you followed that minhag and you were in Yichud with your kala, then afterwards you don't have a tainas besolim. If you didn't follow that minhag, then you do have. Ela seifa. So you're referring to the second part of the braisa about the shushvinin and the mishmush, the body search. Well then, kol shalei mushmash mibarilei. What nahag or loy nahag? What nahag? Kol shalei mushmash. Anybody who was not searched does not have a tainas besolim because we're afraid that he's playing tricks. Nahag implies that he did something. Mushmash is something that the shushvinin do. Amar Abaye lo olam areisha. So Abaye says, okay, the last phrase of the braisa is referring back to the first part. But Tani kol shenag, change the word instead of kol shalei nahag, change it. It should say kol shenag.
Kol shalei mushmash cannot be that because why?
Because why is it saying kol shenag? It should say kol shalei mushmash. Where one's active, one's passive. So Abaye is saying that, yeah, what the braisa means to say is anybody who did follow this minhag, the first part, the part about the Yehud in Yehuda, no longer has a tainas besolim. Amalei Rava v'al kol shalei nohag katani. Rava says, okay, but the fact is it says kol shalei nohag. Okay, you can understand fine somebody mixes up a word in a braisa or something, but you're not going to confuse nohag with loy nohag. They're the complete opposites. So no. Elo amar Rava haki kama. Kol shalei nohag minhag galil b'galil. It means if somebody did not follow the minhag of the Galil in the Galil, they didn't do this Yichud business. The Yichud was after the Chuppah, like we do. Elo minhag Yehuda b'galil. But rather he, being in the Galil, follows the minhag of Yehuda and does Yichud. Then, any yachalit in tainas psulim. Then at that point, he's not able to claim a tainas psulim. Because if he was back home in Yehuda, then yeah, he didn't follow the minhag. Kol shalei nohag, you know, it means he didn't follow the local minhag.
Right.
In the Galil, they're never in Yehud. So if he didn't follow that minhag and was in Yehud, no tainas psulim. Rav Ashi, I'm a lot. So therefore, you don't have to change the words. Kol shalei nohag, but you just say you're talking about a different place. Yeah. Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says actually the phrase in the braisa could be referring to the sefer. But totally kol shalei mushmash, fine. Instead of kol shalei nohag, you're saying that the shushvinin weren't nohag, that they weren't mamashmash. They didn't do the search. Mishnah says echad almanas yisrael veechad almanas koyanim ksubas amana. Whether a woman is an almana from a koyan, meaning a bas koyan, or from a family of yisraelim, either way the ksuba is amana. However, based in Shokoyanim, how you go in the Basula Abba Meyasuz, the based in of Koyanim in those days, some of Farshim explain it means that there were cities in those days that were all or mostly Koyanim. Each city is supposed to have a local based in. So the Batei Dinim in cities of Koyanim. There's other possibilities also. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah mentions a basin of Koyanim that it seems to be over there that it had to do with they dealt with issues relating to the Beis Mikdash. So this basin of Koyanim might mean that also, this basin, whatever it is. Meaning they were Koyanim and they were dealing with things of. So Hayu Gavin Lubsula Aramaeus. They came up with a thing that for Bsula, Bas Koyan who's getting married, the ksuba is not 200 but 400 zuz. And the Chachamim didn't object to that. You want to make the ksuba 400? Gizun Dehe. You can make it 400 as an honor to the Kayanim. Right, but the point is, Mepharshim say that the point is that they were writing in the ksuba the Chazi Lichi, that this is the 400 zuz which is appropriate for you. As opposed to saying 200 is a normal amount of Chachamim and Masak, and another 200 is Toysis ksuba. You're the writing or at all as if it's a kind of Chachamim. But the Chachamim didn't object because, okay, you want to honor the Kohanim that way, fine. Actually,
not only honoring the Kohanim, but I mean, if she was not a Psuah, it would have been a big problem for her.
Well, okay. Actually, the Yerushalmi says an interesting word about it, that the reason for this 400 zuz business was actually they made this 400, and we'll talk about it at the end of it, we'll see it in our Gemara at the end of the Gemara before the next Mishnah, that they did it for a Bas Kohen marrying a Yisrael or a Bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen. Why? Because the Yerushalmi says it was something of a knas. Usually, you want. We know that when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, there was when a woman is inheriting property from her family, she has to marry within her own shevet. Later on, they were master that, and that's one of the reasons why we celebrate on Tu B'Av. But nevertheless, for a long time after that, it was expected that people marry within their own shevet. By Yiftach, the expression is that the Vehu ben Isha Zayna. Why is his mother called Isha Zayna? The Targum says over there because she was from one shevet, and her husband was from a different shevet. So there was a certain expectation that people marry within their own shevet. So if a Bas Yisrael is marrying a Kohen or a Bas Kohen is marrying a Yisrael, this basin of Kohen himself, you have to sort of penalize the husband with an extra amount for that, and therefore the ksuba is 400 zuz.
To keep them
that way, people will be more motivated that a Bas Kohen should marry a Kohen. No, that's what I'm saying. It's not directly related to inheritance of land, but there is this idea that each shevet was generally expected to marry within itself.
That should be a Kohen marrying a Yisrael, but the opposite.
No, but it's both ways, yeah.
Only if you get divorced.
Only if you get divorced, so he dies. Okay, yeah, but still, you're having to write 400 zuz. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Israel marries a Kohen.
Yeah, okay. The Gemara says Tana. We learn it right. The almanas koyanim ksubasa masayim. An almana of a koyan, according to this takana of the basin, shall koyanim. An almana who is a bas koyan would get 200 zuz. The Gemara says why? Achas almanas koyanim ksubasa mana. The first part of our Mishnah says that either way it's a mana. So Rav Ashi says, you have to understand the history. There were two takonis. There were two stages in this. Originally, the basin Shokayanim made a takana that a psula gets 400 zuz and an amona gets a mona, one quarter of that. Given the chazi de mezalzali b'hu, then they saw, though, that the problem is people are mezalzal. People think that it's very easy to divorce an amona. You only have to pay a mona. Therefore, takinu lohu masan. Therefore, they were masakin 200 zuz for them. But then they saw there's a different problem. People don't want to bother marrying an almana of a kohen. Adamri, the people figure, adinas vin an almanas kohenim, as long as if we're going to be on the hook for 200 zuz anyway, instead of marrying an almana of a kohen, nezel nesiv b'sula bas yisrael, better let's go make a shidduch with a b'sula bas yisrael, adrinu le mosayu, so they put it back to the original way, 400 and 100. Tosfos has a different... So fine, a b'sula, of course, you want to marry into a kohen family, you're going to have to pay the price. Tosfos has a little bit of a different explanation about it. Tosfos says the vote is that originally the mezalzali b'hu doesn't mean that people were thinking it's easy to divorce. A mona is still a mona. No, what it is and if so, then why is it any better? And why do you want to make that they should be able to more easily divorce an almana bas Yisrael? No, what Tosfos says mezalzali b'hu is people originally figured, you know what, they're obviously not very important. If the ksuba is only a mona, then obviously an almana bas koyin is not a very important person. So they upped it to 200. But then they saw there's a problem. People are thinking, you know what, then why should I bother? So, yeah. Then the Mishnah said, based in Chokainim, Kola, Amr of Yehuda Amashmul, Loi based in Chokainim Bavadam, where this halacha does not only apply to a based in of Kainim, El Afil Mishpachas Hamiuchosis Bisrael, even the families that have Yichos among the Jewish people, among the Israel, they mean Rotu Lassus, Kadesh, Kainim Oisin, Oisin. If they want to do like that, they want to make a rule 400 Zuz, fine, they can do that.
So,
with a coin,
how much would she pay?
I don't know. Mace, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. If somebody wants to do the way the coin did, Kagoin and the Bryce spells out, for example, Bas Yisrael, a coin, or Bas coin, the Yisrael, Oisin, then they can do that. Which implies, Bas Yisrael, a coin, or Bas coin, the Yisrael, who di ikatzad kahuna. That implies, when are you allowed to do that? If there's something involved in a kainim over here, Our Gemara obviously is looking different than the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, we just said, had said that the 400 was always, whether it's a Bas coin, the Yisrael, or Bas Yisrael, a coin. Our Gemara is obviously arguing with that. That if the Beis Din Chokoyanim did it for a Bas Koyan marrying Yisrael, if you want to additionally do it for a Bas Yisrael, Bas Koyan marrying Yisrael, then you're entitled to. But because there's Kainim involved. Ava Bas Yisrael, Yisrael Loi. But the Braisa seems to be implying that if it's only Yisraelim involved, then you're not allowed to do that. The answer is no. Loi Meboya, comma. No, on the contrary. The Braisa is telling us, needless to say, Loi Meboya, Bas Yisrael, Yisrael. Needless to say that you're able to do it if Bas Yisrael marrying a Yisrael. Even though he's not able to say, I'm bringing you to a better status, he's not bringing her to an any higher status than she has before, and yet you're allowed to do 400 zuz or whatever it is if you want. I have a Bas Yisrael Koyin, but you could argue when a Bas Yisrael marries a Koyin, the Motzi Omala, on the face of it, why should the Chassan be on the hook for 400 zuz? Shouldn't he be able to counterclaim, you know what, I'm giving you an advantage. You're now going to be able to eat Truma. And your children will be kohanim. Emaloy, you would think maybe not. Maybe you don't have the right to make him pay that much. Kamash, well, that's the chiddush that nevertheless you're allowed to. Mishnah says, Hanoise is the issue of Olaymot.
Just because of the incentive to keep them the Shevet?
No, according to the Yerushalmi, it's the incentive to keep them the Shevet. According to our Gemara over here, it's just, you want to make rules? Fine, you can make rules. You're a Mishpacha Miyuchasis. You're entitled to make rules for anybody who wants to marry into your family that they have to pay the price. Well, in the ksubas that we write nowadays, we add on a standard amount. That's what I was saying the other day that Moshe Feinstein has a truva about it. The problem was, or Moshe writes, that there came a time a few hundred years ago when the value of silver was very low. 200 zuz was worth next to nothing. In fact, Moshe makes a calculation on it according to Russian rubles. He writes that 200 zuz, when he was a rub in Russia in Russia in the 20s, was equivalent to something like 75 rubles, which in American money was like $40. That's not any deterrent to divorce. So because of that, in the time when silver was cheap, therefore they came up with this idea that we write in the Ksuba, Masayim Skukim Kesef Tzarof, which again Moshe says is the equivalent of 100 pounds of silver. So even nowadays, that silver is worth more, that still remains. And we said it comes out to a substantial amount of money nowadays it would be about thirty or forty thousand dollars. Yeah.
But those days when they said the silver, and also be the buying power of the silver at that point, how much you could buy, how much you could sell.
Maybe not. If the thing says Masayim Zuz, then you know the Chosin at least would have a valid claim to say, you know, this is what it says, Masayim Zuz. Okay, so the Zuz buys next to nothing now, that's not my problem. Mishnah says, a man marries a woman, he doesn't find she has psulim. Now, unlike before the Gemara that we started about Pesach Pasuach the other day, where she's not counterclaiming anything, here there are claims and counterclaims. We recorded this before. Here, Meres Misher, Astani Ne'er Nasti. She's arguing that after you were Ma'aris me, I was raped, and Istach Pasadei, therefore your field has been flooded. In other words, your tough luck. You still owe me the 200. Vuhu Oimer, and he argues, Loiki, it's not so. Ella Ad Shaloi Erastich, it may have happened before I was Mekadosh you. Vahaya Mechi Mechachtos, and therefore it was a Mechachtos. And we discussed before, does that mean that he's claiming that she loses the Ksuba altogether or that it's only 100? So it's a Machlokas. Rem Gamliel, Rem Nemenes. They say that we believe her. And the Gemara is going to start out with the assumption that the reason why we believe her is because she's making a tainus body. She's making a definite claim, and he's replying with a tainus shema, a maybe, a doubtful claim, because he doesn't know for sure whether it was before or after.
She knows for sure.
So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are saying you believe her. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a loyim apia anuchai, and Rabbi Yeshua says we don't live from her mouth. In other words, it's his way of saying that not necessarily is she telling the truth. not necessarily that she's telling the truth. They say various veritlach why he uses this expression. One idea is, since we say in Pirkei Avos that al shloshet dvarim ha'olam omed ala din v'ala emes v'ala shalim, so the world stands on emes, if Rabbi Yeshua is suspecting she's not telling the emes, the world is not living because of what she's saying. The Tiferet Yisrael says a vart on it. He brings from a story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that there was a city called Kushta. Kushta means truth in Aramaic, and everybody in the city always spoke the truth, and nobody ever died young there. Therefore, again, if we're saying that she's not telling the truth, we're saying if she was living in Kushta over there, we wouldn't be able to live based on what she's saying. And there's something there that some ascetic brings in Eretz Torah, someplace that a woman is connected with Malchus. Throughout Chassidus, where we say that Malchus is a feminine one, and we say in Pasach Aliyah, Malchus is past, so therefore there's also an association over here that that from her, we should expect to be able to live, to get our chayas from Malchus, from the past. But if she's not telling the truth, then we're not getting our chayas from her.
The shaykhus between Malchus and Emet?
The shaykhus between a woman and Malchus.
Right.
And when are we getting from Malchus? When it's truthful. When she's using her mouth for the right purposes, but if she's not, yeah.
Right, but in general, is there...
I don't know if there's a specific association between Malchus and MS.
Why don't
Michelle Kodesh Rokha MS, maybe. Wait. Ella, so no, we have to assume she has a chazaka that she had relations, whether it doesn't matter whether consensually or not, before the Edrusin, and that she misled him, unless she brings proof for what she's saying. So, why are Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yeshua arguing? So let's get into it. The Gemara is going to explain it based on a topic that we have in the Babas. It comes up in a few places in the Babas. It's not. Mana li biyotcha, if Reuven claims you owe me a mana, and Shimon says, I don't know whether I owe you. So you have a Bori versus Shema. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Huna Amri Chayev. So they say he's chayev to pay. V'Rabbi Nachman v'Rabbi Yechon and Amri Potter. Why? What's the reasoning? Rav Huna v'Rabbi Yehuda Amri Chayev because Bori v'Shema Bori Odi. Reuven is making a definite claim. You owe me. Shimon is saying maybe I owe you, maybe not. So the Bori takes precedence. V'Rabbi Nachman v'Rabbi Yechon and Amri Potter because they argue Uki Mamoina b'Cheskas Mare. Yes, but against that you have the chazaka that Shimon has the chazaka on the money right now. You should leave the money in the possession of the one who currently has the chazak on it, unless there's an absolute proof against that. So, Amalei Abayelet of Yosef, Hoder of Yehuda, Hoder of Huna, Rav Yehuda Dishmuli. Actually, this that we're saying that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are saying that he's chayev is actually they learned that from Shmuel. Ditan, because we learn in the next Mishnah or now a couple of Mishnayos later. On Gimel Lamed Aleph, we'll have it tomorrow. The Mishnah says, "Hoisimu beres." If a woman is pregnant, va'omer lo mati b'shal uberzeh, and people ask her what's the status of this baby, like who's the father, and she says, "Meish ploini v'koyin," who it's from so and so, who is a koyin. Doesn't necessarily have to be a koyin. The point is, she's saying that he's a meyuchas. The point is, the Gemara is going to discuss over there, the question is, are we trying to say whether the baby is a kosher baby, in other words, not a mamzer or whatever, or are we discussing, is she herself afterwards allowed to marry a kohen? If she'd had relations with somebody who was also to her, a goy or a mamzer or what have you, then she'd be also to a kohen. So if she's claiming that I had relations with a kohen, or it could be a Yisrael also, but the point is somebody who has yichus, then she's still kosher the kohen, at least. So again, you have the same machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, I'm in that menace. The Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say you believe her, and Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. They say that the halacha and Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. The Amar Leir of Shmuel by Yehuda the Rabbi Yehuda. He says same shinina. We've had the expression shinina in a bunch of places in the Gemara already. It means some of our Rishonim say that it means sharp, the sharp one. Rabbi Yehuda is a very sharp person. Others, and the Goyim have an expression that it means somebody with large teeth. They say that even in their times, in Babel, somebody who had very large teeth would be nicknamed Shinina. Anyway, Amrit Lot Mishmei de Shmuel, you told us in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Kram Gamliel, after Rishina, that the Halacha is Kram Gamliel, even in the first case, the first Or Mishnah, which is the first one where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing versus Rabbi Yeshua. Now, my Achbarish, I know what's the point of mentioning even in the first case. What's the Chiddush of our Mishnah over the later one? The Chiddush is, because even though you would argue in our Mishnah you have this Chazakah that Rab Nachman and Rab Yechanan are talking about, that he has the Chazakah on the money right now. He should be able to claim, I don't have to pay you the Ksuba because I have the money in my possession. And yet, Abin Rabban Gamliel bori adif. And yet, Rabban Gamliel is saying that the fact that she has a bori claim is stronger, and therefore she has the right to take the money for her ksuba. So, what do we see from that? We see that Shmuel is the one who's explaining that Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Eliezer and our Mishnah are saying their din because of bori versus shema. So before, with the money libiyodcha case, when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna are saying that you chayev to pay them, when that Shimon is chayev to pay the money, they are going based on Shmuel's logic that we see that Shmuel held that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah, that bori v'shema, then bori is stronger. Now the question becomes: Lema Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Huna, Da'ami Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yechon, Da'ami Rabbi Yeshua. So does that mean that the machloekas amiroyim about the money libiyodcha is the same as the machloekas tanoim of our Mishnah? First of all, the problem with that would be that then the major problem with that is, we've talked about this before. If so, then why do they have to have a whole other machlokas? Let them just say, let Rav Huna and Rav Huna say the halachas like Rav Gamliel of our Mishnah. Let Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman say the halachas like Rav Yeshua. And finished. We know automatically it would apply to the Monoli Biyarcha case. The answer is, the fact that they're having a separate machlokas seems to imply that that's a different principle involved. Omer Loch Rav Nachman, no, Anod Amri Afilu Kerem Gamliel, not necessarily. I could be talking, me and Rabbi Yochanan could be saying our din even according to Rav Gamliel. Because Ad Tan Lekom Rav Gamliel Hosem Ela De'ikim Migui. Because in the case of our Mishnah, you have another factor to consider. You have the factor of Migui. She's claiming that I was raped. Instead, she could have claimed I'm a Mukas Eitz. What would be the advantage for that? The advantage would be that then she'd be able to marry a kohen. A mukas eitz is allowed to marry a kohen. An anusa is not. So she has that claim of migui, which is a weaker claim, and therefore that shows that she must be telling the truth.
Married to the guy anyhow. She got married to the guy.
No, but afterwards, if he dies, she would have been able to marry a kohen. But because she's claiming they're nasty, then she effectively is saying I can't.
That's why she should be believed.
So therefore she should be believed. Rashi points out by the same token, the next Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow, she claims Mukaseis, which we talked about before. She could claim Mukaseis Anitachtecha. She doesn't just have to claim that I was Mukaseis before we ever got married. She would be able to claim that Mukaseis Anitachtecha, that it happened after we were engaged, after we did the Edison. So either way, there's a migri, in other words. So that would be why Rav Gamliel is saying we believe her. Not because of Bori versus Shema, but because she has a migri. The fact that, no. The whole idea of migri is that you could have made a stronger claim.
After the case, after they find out.
Okay. That's how migri works. That's when the case comes to basis.
She got engaged. She was clean. There's no problem.
She could have said that.
When it's beneficial to her. She would be honest and say when it happened, she would tell.
But you know what? Okay, fine. I mean, all the cases of Migui and Shas. You know, obviously you're coming to Beis Din. Somebody is, there's an argument over here, right? I mean, okay.
Not bad.
What?
At least you come to Beis Din. Somebody is telling the truth.
Yeah. Okay. Abel Hocha Mai Migui Yika. But in the case of Mona Libi Yodcha, there's no Migui involved. He's just saying, I don't know. No, that's what we said before. We said before that there's a machlokas for Meir and the Chachamim about that. According to the Meir, a Mukas Eitz gets 200. According to the Rabbanan, she gets 100. No, because she's also. One second. If she had claimed in our Mishnah, she's claiming Misherastani Ne'nasti, that it happened at Nistach Vasadehu. She could have claimed instead Misherastani, I became a Mukas Eitz. Then she has all the advantages. She still gets the 200 because it's Nistach Vasadehu, and she's still allowed to marry a kohen. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be why Rav Gamliel is saying, you know, our Mishnah that we believe her because she has a migui. Aval hachamai migui. But in the case of Monoli Biyarcha, there's no migui. So therefore, there's less of a reason to believe Shimon. Inami, or another possibility, Ad Kan Lekamer Rav Gamliel Hasav El Damin and Ukva Chazaka, or another argument, Rav Gamliel would say that you put her on her original Chazaka. When she was born, she was a Bsula. Later on, at some point, she became no longer a Bsula. When did it happen? Chazaka should tell us that you keep her a Bsula for as long as possible, basically.
In other words, she could have said,
no,
I was a
Bsula. No, it's not whether she says or not. We know, obviously, she was born a Bsula. At some point between then and now, she became no longer a Bsula. He's arguing it happened before the Kiddushin. She's arguing it happened after the Kiddushin. Chazaka should tell us that Chazaka should strengthen what she's saying and say, therefore, we have more reason to believe that it happened later than earlier, because we should assume for as long as possible that she kept the same Chazaka.
That's not as strong as Amiku, though.
Okay, but it's still an argument. Aval ha'chamay chazaka isle lahai. But here with the Manili Biyadcha case, there's no chazaka to talk about over here. Because this argument is Reb Nachman and Reb Yochanan would use this argument, that they would say Reb Gamliel in our Mishnah is saying you believe her because she has a chazaka. Reuben does not have a chazaka of having this money that he's claiming that Shimon owes him. On the contrary, right now Shimon has a chazaka that he has in his possession. So therefore, there should be a difference. Rav Gamliel would not necessarily agree. Would not necessarily say in the Mon Libyotcha case that he owes the money. And the Gemara points out, Hachinami Mistabra. In fact, it has to be logical to say that the Machlokas Amaroyim is not the same as the Machlokas Tanayim, because Kidukamashaninan, this that we just answered, the Rav Nachman who Amar Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman would agree with Rav Gamliel. We have to say that. Deim Kain, Kashi Hilchasa Hilchasa. Because otherwise, we would have a contradiction between two halachas. We have a general rule that whenever Rav Nachman argues against other Amoraim in Dine Momenus, the halacha is like Rav Nachman because he was a dayan, he was an expert in these things. On the other hand, but here we just said before that Shmuel had said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. If Rav Nachman's opinion in Manon Libyotcha is the same as Rabbi Yeshua is in the Mishnah, then you'd have a contradiction. So obviously it has to be like this. The difference is that either in our, it's not just Bori Veshema, that in our Mishnah you have two other factors to consider. There's the Migui and there's the Chazaka. So because of all of that, so Rav Gamliel has three reasons for his Shitta in the Mishnah, as opposed to Monali Biyadcha, only one of them applies. Shemamina, so that proves it. The Halacha is like Rav Gamliel, and the Halacha is also like Rav Nachman.
Yeah.